Hey, this is the Niles family just saying, welcome to Hope.
Hi, Hope family. The Nichols want to wish all of you a very Merry Christmas season.
Don't forget to pray for me. I'll pray for you. And we're all going to pray that we can come out of this pandemic with our sanity and at least 10 pounds lighter.
Stay safe, stay well, and happy holidays.
I just want to wish you a meaningful Advent season. Keep safe. God bless.
Hi, Hope Church family. Hope you are all staying well and safe.
Good morning, Hope members.
Hey, Hope. I hope you guys are staying safe and healthy during all of this. So Merry Christmas, and I hope to see you all soon.
Well, I guess Mother Nature wants us to know it's December. Enjoy this winter wonderland. Be safe, stay warm, and be well.
Hi, I'm Juanita. I'm from Hope Methodist Church, and I'm at Meals on Wheels.
Hey, Hope. This is Gracie and Mildred. Hope you're all having a wonderful day. We miss you all.
And we miss you. We love you.
And we hope to see you as soon as possible.
And we're praying for you.
Hi, Hope. It's Sandy. We miss you all. I'm here at the church doing the weekly East Tucson meal. We're still reaching out to the community.
Good morning from the Schliemann family. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
See you soon.
Hey, Hope Church. Good to see you.
Say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Have a blessed Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas and welcome to Hope United Methodist Church from wherever you are. Thank you for joining us for our service this evening, and hopefully you are safe and at home as we face these wintry times. Now let us engage in our service of worship.
When we wait in the night, in the hush that only stars can hold as they bend towards the coming of the light, when we wait in the night, laboring with anticipation of what midnight shall bring. When we wait in the night, listening to the cadence of minutes beat in rhythm with the birth of hope, may we hold our collective breaths with the angelic host as they clutch their restless alleluias. May we hold our collective breaths with the family gathered together, though they had never met before, hoping to witness a miracle. For God is on the way. The mother is laboring, the father pacing, the family are readying, the word is waiting. The light is sliding and the promise is breaking through into the hustle and bustle of life. When we wait in the longing for midnight, in expectation of good news, may we choose to wait together in spirit and find we have moved to the edge of our seats. For in such anticipation is the only place for the word to be born among us.
We light this candle as a symbol of Christ who is with and within each of us. As we sing, praise, pray, and rejoice, may the light of Christmas be rekindled in each of us. O come, Emmanuel.
Let us join in our next hymn so that while we work with the candle, we can continue to be in praise. What child is this? And then we will go from there into Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Amen.
now would you join me in our unison Christmas prayer? Loving God, help us remember the birth of Jesus, that we may share in the song of the angels, the gladness of the shepherds, and worship of the wise men. Close the door of hate, and open the door of love all over the world. Let kindness come with every gift, and good desires with every greeting. Deliver us from evil by the blessing which Christ brings, and teach us to be merry with clear hearts. May the Christmas morning make us happy to be your children, and Christmas evening bring us to our beds with grateful thoughts, forgiving and forgiven, for Jesus' sake. Amen. And as we enjoy and rejoice in the season in which we find ourselves, we know that we were taught a great many things by that child, that as he grew up, he blessed us in many ways. And one of the ways was with teaching about prayer and the importance of it. And we know that during these times that we find ourselves in, Christmas is not happy for everyone. We know that Christmas is never happy for everyone. We know that life, no matter what day of the year or liturgical calendar it may be, is complicated, difficult, joyful, sorrowful, all mixed into one. And yet we know that in the midst of all of that, and especially when words fail us, Christ offered us words that we could pray. And so now we offer them up, as we do every time that we worship, and we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. Well, kiddos, if you're at home watching this, hopefully you're not out playing in the snow. It's a little dark. I usually like to show a video clip, but I can't do that when we're live streaming because our streaming licenses don't cover all the videos that I want to show you. So instead, I have to tell you about something this year. And that is my two favorite Christmas movies. Now, I'm not going to tell you which of the many different versions that there are my favorite, except in one instance. But I will tell you that my favorites are The Grinch and A Christmas Carol. Now, there is a very great version of The Christmas Carol that involves some Muppets, but that's a debate for another time. But what I love so much about those movies is that the main character in both movies is someone who is alone, on the outside, feeling lost, cut off, isolated, unloved. And often it's not just because of anything that they have done, but it's because of all of the things in their life that have happened to them. In The Grinch, depending which version you watch, he's had a tough childhood. He's different than everybody else. He's bullied for this. He's made fun of for this. So he leaves. And in A Christmas Carol, Scrooge has gained and lost. He has seen hardship, and he fears that more than anything else. And because of that, he has lost that which is most dear to him in love and kindness. And so he shuts himself off. So it's easier for him to not feel anything than it is to feel pain of loss. But both of them learn that even though they've had bad experiences, there's more to life than that. But they don't learn that on their own. They learn that together. So this Christmas, I hope that you can think of one person who has helped you in a difficult time, who has helped you when you were sad, who's helped you when you were angry, who's helped you when you were happy. And you needed to know why you were so happy. Because I know I've been happy, and I'm not sure why I'm happy. But I'm like singing, and my wife looks at me like I'm weird. It's always fun. But this Christmas, find that person and thank them. Give them the gift of letting them know that you care, that they care. So tomorrow, call them up. Have your mom, dad, guardian parent, grandma, grandpa, whoever you're living with, have them help you call that person so that you can give them the gift of a Christmas thank you. Amen. Our next song is Star Child. It's 2095. It's in the Faith We Sing, which we don't often use on Christmas Eve, but this year I thought we'd dabble in it.
First lesson comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in a pitch dark land, light has dawned. You have made the nation great. You have increased its joy. They rejoiced before you as with joy at the harvest, as those who divide plunder rejoice. As on the day of Midian, you've shattered the yoke that burdens them, the staff on their shoulders and the rod of their oppressor. Because every boot of the thundering warriors and every garment rolled in blood will be burned, fuel for the fire. A child is born to us. A son is given to us. And authority will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be vast authority and endless peace for David's throne and for his kingdom, establishing and sustaining it with justice and righteousness, now and forever.
lesson this evening is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus declared that everyone throughout the empire should be enrolled in the tax list. This first enrollment occurred when Quirinius governed Syria. Everyone went to their own cities to be enrolled. Since Joseph belonged to David's house and family line, he went up from the city of Nazareth in Galilee to David's city, called Bethlehem in Judea. He went to be enrolled together with Mary, who was promised to him in marriage and who was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for Mary to have her baby. She gave birth to her firstborn child, a son, wrapped him snugly, and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the guest room.
Thank you.
Our final lesson this evening is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter, verses 8 through 20. Nearby, shepherds were living in the fields, guarding their sheep at night. The Lord's angel stood before them. The Lord's glory shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. Look, I bring to you good news, wonderful, joyous news for all people. Your Savior is born today in David's city. He is Christ the Lord. This is a sign for you. You will find a newborn baby wrapped snugly and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great assembly of the heavenly forces was with the angel, praising God. And they said, "Glory to God in heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go right now to Bethlehem and see what's happened. Let's confirm what the Lord has revealed to us." They went quickly and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. When they saw this, they reported what they had been told about this child. Everyone who heard it was amazed at what the shepherds told them. Mary committed these things to memory and considered them carefully. The shepherds returned home, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Everything happened just as they had been told. This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. Now, there is a common misconception about this birth story of Jesus, and it's that he was born in a stable in, like, an outlot of an outlot, like, on the outside of town where, like, nobody was around. And that it was, like, Mary, Joseph, and then baby Jesus and some animals, and that was it. This is, I think, the image that many of us have grown up hearing, is that Jesus was born out by himself. But this is not actually the case. This is not what is bared out when one looks at the Palestinian world in which he would have been born in, the way that the homes were built, the culture that they had. You see, everybody had to go to get registered. And they didn't have hotels. We talked about this in Sunday school, kids, if you remember that, if you're still awake at this point. I guess it's only like 7:40. I'm an old man, so I want to be in bed right now, because it's dark outside. But we talked about this in Sunday school. You know, Jesus, so everybody would have been in town to be registered. And because of that, often what would happen is you would travel and you didn't, you know, go on booking.com and find yourself a room, right? You would go to somebody, anybody, who was a relative of yours and sort of recite your family tree. "I am Joseph, son of blank, who's son of this guy, who's son of that guy, son of so-and-so. Your dad." "Oh yeah, cool, yeah, we're related. All right, come on in." And that's where you would stay. But because everybody was in town, everybody was hitting up all their relatives. Now, it reminds me of my other favorite Christmas movie, which I didn't talk about during the children's moment because it's not a children's movie, which is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Because there is a scene in the movie where Clark Griswold finally gets all the lights on the house, and they're on, but not twinkling, as his father-in-law points out. And it's all lit up, and then his cousin Eddie is magically there. And Clark goes, "Eddie, what are you doing here?" And he's like, "It's a beaut, Clark. Beats me." But that's what it was like when Mary and Joseph rolled into town. Everyone was just showing up uninvited at their relatives' houses and saying, "We're here to stay." And so there was no place for them. There was no place for Mary and Joseph. In that they didn't have a guest room. They just had to stay where everybody else was. The big room. There was a guest room and a big room. And they were in the big room, with the people whose house it was, and the animals that they kept in there to keep them warm and safe, And anybody else that didn't fit and they didn't have a guest room for, they were all in there together, invited, uninvited, known and unknown. It was just a big heap of people all together. And in the middle of that, out of nowhere, I mean, they knew Mary was pregnant. It's pretty obvious. But out of nowhere, in the middle of all these people's everyday lives, they're worrying about registering, they're worrying about taxes, and this baby shows up. Right into the middle of our lives. Now, in the moment, I don't think they knew that he was coming into the middle of our lives here and now. I don't know that they comprehended what things would be like in almost 2,000 years later. That wasn't good English, but I'll fix that another time. But he came into the middle of all of our lives. In the middle of chaos. Too many people, not enough bathrooms. There's baby Jesus coming into our lives. Right now, I'm in this big empty sanctuary with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of us. There's 8 of us in this big empty sanctuary. And that is not what we think of when we think of Christmas. And you're watching this at home, hopefully. You're watching this. I'm not talking into the void. And you're there with maybe the 4 of you that live in the house. I really hope you're not watching this with like 20 of you packed in there. If you are, put masks on right now. But you're there at your house, hopefully in small little groups of people that are within your bubble, 2020. And you're thinking to yourself, middle of my life? In this day and age, in the middle of my life, nothing's going on right now. Yes, in the middle of your life, when your house isn't bursting at the seams, he comes. He finds his way into the midst of the chaos and the disappointment and the clutter and the wrapping paper that is everywhere. He finds his way into the middle of our lives because that is where he wants to take up residence in our lives, the middle. The middle is an important focal point. It's what helps us balance. The middle is right there. It's hard to forget about the middle. It's easy to forget about the end. The worst day you've ever had, hopefully you can forget about that. The best day you've had, if you're married, you better remember it. But the middle, that's where most of the stuff that it happens, and that's our good grounded spot, and that's where he wants to be, is the middle of our lives. The mundane stuff. The not as exciting stuff. Because in the middle of our lives, the stuff that is the everyday things that we do. Stopping for your coffee on the way to work. Reading that book to your kid. Taking your dog for a walk. That's where he wants to be because that's where the opportunities for amazing things to happen are. The middle of your life. And that's where he shows up. All those people gathered in that room. Woo. Hope that's a good thing. It's like, you're saying something right this time. All those people in the middle of that room in this crazy thing in this small town had their lives changed. Because in the middle of everything they had going on, a small child came and changed their perspective on what was important. And I know that they were important, and I know that their lives were changed because we don't know their names. We don't know that they were there. And that's fine. We don't need to know the names and dates of everyone who was there. All we need to know is that they were there and that their lives were changed. And you may think to yourself, was I there? Was my life changed? Nobody has ever called me to say that it has been. And they don't have to because he is there and you are there in the middle. In the middle. I'll close with this, which is one of my favorite things about Christmas. And it's one of the things that I'm missing I have missed the most for many years, to be honest, because now I work on Christmas. But the thing that I cherish the most about Christmas is that I didn't pay attention in church. Christmas was a middle in my life for many, many years. And the reason was is that we would all go to my grandparents' house, and then we would all go to church with my grandparents, and we would all sit, my whole family, aunts and uncles and cousins, we'd all sit in this one pew, and we'd take up the whole pew. And I would not pay attention. My cousins and I would mess around, and we would draw things on the bulletins. And my uncle would have this like pocket full of hard candy, and you'd hear him like fill them with a wrapper. And then my cousins would be like, "Dad, pass one down to me." And like my grandma would be like, "All right, all right." And inevitably, we would end up sitting boy, girl, boy, girl, because we just couldn't be together. We would start laughing, and we didn't pay attention. But sometimes it takes this to remind us of where the middle of our life was and where Jesus was in the middle of it. Even though I wasn't paying attention, God was there. And only now do I realize how important all the jokes and all the memories were and are. Because that was a middle moment where God was at work even though I didn't realize. And at Christmas, not only are we rekindled, but we gain the opportunity and the awareness, which is key, the awareness, to be someone who realizes where God is at work, how we can join in that work, and who can be the person who steps into the middle of somebody else's life to rekindle the spirit within them. Amen. Let us join in our next hymn, Joy to the World. Taking up a special offering of which 100% goes to Meals on Wheels. So if you are someone who wants to donate to that cause and you want to give through our website, please just make a notation that it's for the Christmas offering. If you're sending in a check, please note as well Christmas offering, as that will be going to Meals on Wheels, something that is desperately needed and utilized here in Bedford, and the surrounding areas, all of Northeast Ohio and around the country, now and always. Let us have a moment of silence as we engage in a spirit of offering, and then we will join in our doxology. Now join us as we sing our doxology. A cappella. We're going to sing it a cappella.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Now, if you grabbed an Advent kit from me that had a candle in it, I would hope that you have it as you're watching this stream with your family. Please get it handy, because now we're going to sing two verses of A Little Town of Bethlehem, and then we will sing Silent Night and have our candles lit as we do so.
Thank you.
for my benediction, let me say to you that Christ, our Savior, is born. And may you find him and yourself in the middle of life. Let us sing, Go Tell It on the Mountain, as our benediction response.